Happy New Year to you, Harvest Church. We're glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You know, when we talk about going into the new year, I know a lot of people have been like, oh, I can't wait to get out of 2020 and into 2021 to see what God has. But you know what, church, we're taking some treasures with us. We're taking some plunders with us. We fought some battles in 2020, and we're taking that with us into this new year. A couple weeks ago in prayer time, Pastor Carolyn asked us to talk about what we've learned in prayer time, maybe some answers that have come into prayer. And those are the things that we need to remember that we're taking with us. You know, when the children of Israel went over the Jordan into the promised land, there was a battle that they fought before the walls of Jericho came down. And the Lord said to Joshua, in this battle, when you get through this battle, you can take the plunder. You can take the treasures with you from this battle. And church, I want to encourage you today, take with you what we've gained from 2021. Maybe you've gained a more intimate knowledge of Jesus and his presence, of how the Lord is our comforter, how the Lord is our strength. Let's take that with us into this next year. Maybe it is the power of prayer that you never experienced before. We don't leave that behind. We are taking that with us as we move forward. Maybe it's the unity that you felt in the body of Christ. We don't lose that going into 2021. We take it with us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So that's just a little encouragement. This is a message that's been percolating. I want to say simmering now on the back burner for a couple of weeks. And like a good pot of sauce, if this is a shout out to Pastor Paul, who likes to talk about food, and to my father, who is the one who makes our Sunday sauce. When he would make a pot of sauce on a Saturday, Pop will make it and it will be simmering, and you could stop by the house and dip a piece of bread in it. And sometimes if you sneak in at the right time, you can grab a meatball from it. And that's what I've been doing with this message that's been simmering. It's been simmering on the back burner, but you know, we've just been drawing from it over these past 2 weeks, and I want to now share it with you. Nothing better than an Italian household when everybody gathers around the table and we could share the yummy food with you. So I pray that this is nourishing to you. I pray you gain something from this morning, and that you are encouraged with the joy of the Lord. Amen. So Jesus overwhelming you, the presence of God overwhelming you to where it inundates every part of our life. That's what this message is about today. You know, during the Christmas season, we celebrate God sending Jesus, his son, sending the Savior into the world to redeem mankind. And there is so much to the story of Christmas when you open up the Word of God and you start maybe in Luke chapter 1, moving into chapter 2, and we can pull on any thread of that story and just start to unravel the marvels and the mystery of God. You know, we could talk about prophecy that's been fulfilled, prophecy that was spoken out hundreds of years before Jesus was born. We could talk about John 3:16 in this season, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. We could talk about Isaiah 9, where it says, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All this is wrapped up in the story of Jesus coming. We could talk about Mary, an ordinary teenage girl whose life turned to be extraordinary. We could talk about Joseph. I think sometimes Joseph kind of steps out of the limelight in this story, but as I was reading over these chapters over in the beginning of the month, I thought, you know, Joseph was truly a man of God who yielded to the Lord and obeyed. And because of Joseph's obedience, the Savior was protected. So these are all things we could talk about. We could talk about the star in the east. I remember a message Jamie preached years ago about the star and just the intricacy of God and how intentional God is even in creation, where he placed the stars in the sky for this one night of Jesus being born. We could talk about all that. We could talk about the cross. We could talk about why Jesus came to die on the cross. We could talk about the empty tomb. We could talk about the morning of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit fell, all this wrapped up in Jesus, in the story. We could talk about the miracles of the New Testament. We could talk about even the testimonies of our own life, how Jesus is Lord, all this because it's wrapped up in the story of the manger. We could talk about our soon coming King. We could talk about eternity. We could talk about heaven, what God has in store for us. Amen, because it's all about Jesus. Let Jesus overwhelm us today. And I pray that you feel a joy start to pour down over you from heaven. I want to go from the scripture in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, that it says, the angel said, I bring you good news of a great joy. Good news of a great joy. That great joy is Jesus. Jesus is our source of all joy. The only joy that will sustain us, the only joy that will carry us through is Jesus. Good news of a great joy. All this is wrapped up in the story of Jesus. Allow Jesus to overwhelm you today. If you have your notebook out, I want to give you the definition of overwhelm. Means to inundate, to overcome completely in mind or feeling. Overwhelm. Allow ourselves to be overwhelmed and inundated by the knowledge of Jesus Christ that we have already gained. What have you already experienced with Jesus? Let that just start to wash over you today. How faithful our Lord is. How powerful the word is. That we have weapons for our warfare. The goodness of God. His mercies that are new every morning. Allow this to start overwhelming our thoughts. Allow this to start overwhelming our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. The goodness of Jesus. And there's a few places in scripture that Jesus taught consecutively about joy. And that's in the book of John. Let's turn there, if you have your Bibles open, to John chapter 15. Before I read this verse, I want to give you the definition of joy from the Strong's Concordance. It says this, joy is gladness. Joy is the awareness of God's grace. Cheerfulness, calm delight, a cheerful heart that leads to cheerful behavior. That's what the meaning of joy is in the Bible. And one of the parts of this, or the part of this that has really been highlighted to me by the Holy Spirit, is this awareness of God's grace is what the joy of the Lord is. The awareness of God's grace. Realizing God's around us. Allowing us to perceive God's goodness around us fills us with his joy. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 11. And it said there's three places consecutively where Jesus talked about joy. We're going to go to John 15, John 16, and John 17. We're going to pull some joy out of the word today. Amen. John 15, verse 11. Jesus says this, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I don't want my joy. I want his joy. Because it's his joy that's going to complete us. He's the source of all joy. The joy of Jesus made complete in you. This word complete here means full capacity. Joy to fullness. That means there's no room for anything else. Where you don't lack. We're not missing anything. We don't have any shortcomings when we're filled to the fullness of God's joy. The joy of Jesus. Filled here to capacity. That means there's no room for sadness. There's no room for grief. There's no room for dread. There's no room for fear or anxiety because we are full to capacity with the joy of the Lord. What is that joy there? That's the awareness of God's grace. What is it that you need God's grace for today? Be aware of it. Perceive it. Acknowledge that God's grace is with you in this moment and allow his joy to fill you to capacity, washing out all the doubt, washing out all the dread, washing out all the anxiety because of his joy in us. Our joy is incomplete, but his joy in us is completion. True joy, as we study this, comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ and only that. In John 15, 15, Jesus said, remain in me. And I in you. Abide in me and I in you. It is that constant relationship with Jesus that allows us to have that completion of joy in our lives because he is the source of all joy. Amen. And when we link up with Jesus, remaining in him, abiding in him, we could walk through this life with all the highs and lows, with all the hills and all the valleys, in the streams and in the desert, with a calm delight. His joy. Why do we have a calm delight? Because of the situations we're in? No. Because we are aware of God's grace is with us. Amen? God's grace God's grace is what equips us. God's grace is what gives us that ability to do things within ourselves we cannot do. God's grace is where we find that delight. God's grace is that ability to carry us through a situation or a trial or a testing. God's grace is on us today, church. I don't know if you've ever experienced a moment where you have truly been made aware of God's grace. There was some time last year where I was sitting by the bedside of someone I love and adore in the hospital, and as a heaviness fell in the room, and it was just an attack of the enemy, I opened up the word and we read the word out loud. There was no delight in that moment we were sitting in, but I found a delight in the power of the word because I was aware at that moment that God's grace was so evident to carry us through. You know, church, when we don't know what's ahead, we have to remember that we know the God who does. And his grace will carry us through. That's how we can have a cheerful heart to give us a cheerful behavior. That's what the world needs to see, is the joy of Jesus in us. Not the joy because of what's happening around us. That's happiness. I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord to acknowledge God's grace and God's presence. And the power of his word, when we speak it out of our mouth, changes an atmosphere. If there's been heaviness in your home, heaviness around you, sickness trying to stay in your household, open up the word, declare the word, and allow the awareness of God's grace to pour in. And the joy of the Lord bringing a completion in your house. And nothing else can say, because there's a fullness of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Jesus said right before this verse, I'm in John chapter 15, verse 11. He said, I have said these things. I have told you these things. I have said these things. What he was saying in verse 9 and 10 was, remain in my love. Stay consistent in my love. Stay obedient to the Father. This is how we walk in joy. This is how the joy of the Lord is complete, when we choose to remain in Jesus. I have said these things. Jesus is talking about his love. Remain in his love so that his joy can be complete in us. Abide in his love. Stay present in his love. Our next verse is John chapter 16, verse 24 says, until now, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Ask. How can we ask now and our joy be complete? Because now we're in the love of God. Now we're walking in relationship with the love of God. So what we're asking and what we are requesting of him is within his will. So now we can ask by faith, believing, and we will receive. And as we ask, and even in the waiting, and then in the receiving, our joy will be made complete. We will receive what we need. Amen. In Jesus. So John 15:11, Jesus says that your joy may be complete. John 16:24, Jesus says again, so that your joy will be complete. And now when John 17:13 says, Jesus says it again, I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of joy with them. A full measure of joy, complete joy, joy to the fullest capacity. Jesus is talking about us there. He said these things so that we now here in 2021 can hear the words that Jesus said, and we can receive those words and have a full measure of joy. I want to go to the verse, two verses above this, to see what it was that Jesus said. Let's hear the word of the Lord today. Amen. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. We're still in the world. We're his disciples. We're still here. And he is coming to the Father. I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so they may have the full measure of my joy within them. We could receive this prayer. Jesus prayed for protection and preservation for his disciples, protection from things that were going on in the world, and preservation of their salvation. And he said, I prayed these in the name you gave me. So as we pray in the name of Jesus, We can rely on this protection and preservation. Jesus prayed, Jesus, our intercessor, make interceding for us at the right hand of the Father, has prayed for you that you would be protected as you walk through this life, that you will stay close to him, that you will abide in him, and that you would be then brought safely from here, from this world, to glory with him in heaven. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that makes me joyful on the inside. That makes me rejoice to know that my Savior prayed for me in his mighty name, in the name that God the Father gave him, so that we would be protected and preserved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus prayed for us. His joy made complete in us, his joy to the fullness. In John 15, verse 11, in the Amplified, it reads this way, my joy may be made full and complete and perfected in them, that they may experience my delight fulfilled in them, my enjoyment may be perfected in their souls, that they may have gladness within them filling their hearts, an enjoyment perfecting in our souls today. Again, we are not enjoying circumstances, but we know that it's not the circumstances that we're looking for our joy. It's our source, Jesus Christ, his life in us, his delight, giving us great pleasure in the midst of trial, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of loss. We can experience gladness. Why? Because we found calm delight in him, an awareness of God's grace. God's grace is making you more capable than you ever thought you would be, church. We've gained some tenacity in the Spirit. We've gained some grit with the Holy Ghost over these past few months. And in that, I find delight because the Lord has strengthened us in the areas that we might have felt weak. The Lord is our strength. And in that, we find delight. There is our delight. There is our enjoyment. There is where we take pleasure in our everyday living. Amen. I want to read this. This is from the Health Psychology Center. Says this, when someone experiences joyfulness, psychological and biochemical alterations occur that encourage a sense of well-being, completely altering the negative views of life. Joy is an attitude or a belief which soothes even the most sorrowful of situations. Joy comes from within. It is an internal view. Joy in the biblical context, not based on something positive happening in life, but is an attitude of the heart and spirit. And this is from a secular source. Our joy is coming from within. Our joy is coming from knowing Jesus. And that changes our attitude. That changes our outlook because it's an internal knowing of Jesus Christ. Amen? Our joy comes from within, allowing us to have a different outlook on every situation. Joy now complete, Jesus overwhelming you. Amen. So I have a question. Is Jesus in your life? Are you in a consistent, continual, unbroken fellowship with the Lord and Savior? If not, I want to invite you to open your heart to Jesus and just say, Lord, I accept you. I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. I come and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life today. I want this joy within me, the life of God within me. Wash away my sins. Forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for coming as a baby in a manger that right now in this moment we can experience the joy of salvation. You can just cry out to the Lord today and come to know this joy that is eternal, this joy that is overwhelming, this joy that carries us through trials and tests and tribulations. And if you're saved and you've been struggling with joy in this season of our lives, let's go back and remember the goodness of God. Let's go back and remember, because what we're going to talk about is this is filling up a bucket over us as we remember all these things, as we remember. I'm going to talk about an example here about the Paul Bunyan Bucket Brigade, which I know is kind of funny, especially this time of year, talking about going to a water park. And if you know me, my husband, my boys know that the water park for me is the worst type of vacation day. I do not enjoy being at the water park. I find no amusement in that. So when the Holy Spirit started to give me this example, I started to really chuckle because it's just so not what I find enjoyable. But when we allow the Lord to overwhelm us with his goodness, you know, in Philippians 4, 4, the Amplified, it says, we are to gladden ourselves in him. And we do that by reminding ourselves of the Lord, by filling up that like a water bucket waiting to pour down. We hear messages, we listen to worship that's filling that bucket over your head. We remind ourselves of the goodness of God. We come into praise, we come into worship, and it's filling up that bucket to where finally it starts to pour out over you and overwhelm you and inundate you and overcome you. And it's not just a splash down, as we know, it is a deluge. But as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about some other aspects of a water park, and I was thinking about, you know, the lazy river, which is peace. That's how the Holy Spirit kind of showed me that. It's peace. You have your tube, which is our peace, and you're sitting on your tube and you're going down this lazy river and you think everything's going really well until you hit like a divot in the water. And you think everything is going well until you get stuck under that little waterfall and you're kind of just like caught there in the current. And there's lifeguards on the side saying, hold on to your tube, stay in your tube, don't lose your tube. And we as Christians, we come along one another and we say, hold on to your peace, don't lose your peace. Right? That's a good thing. We're holding on to our peace as we're in the lazy river. And, you know, there's, you know, those moments where you see people or friends, you know, they have their feet, you know, all intertwined. And then there's those kids on the side by the cannons and they squeeze the cannon right at the right time and it pushes your tube over and you're trying to find your peace. You're trying to find your tube, right? And hold on to your peace when what you think was a nice ride down a lazy river. And sometimes that happens with us, church. We have to hold on to our peace really tight, like we're on the lazy river, but don't let go. Don't let the current take you away. Hold on to your peace. And another aspect of the water park, when I was thinking about this, and I'm going to get to the bucket, was hope. You know, when you're little and you grab that water mat and you start to climb up that ladder to the highest water slide, and you're holding on to that mat or you're carrying that big tube and the wind is blowing the tube while you're walking up the stairs and you're climbing up the stairs. And at first you start running and you're really excited. And then you start going up the stairs and you're getting higher and higher and you look down and you're like, wow, what am I doing here? And sometimes that's where we are with our hope and our faith. We start off really excited and we're holding on tight. And then as we start to get higher and higher, we're like, Lord, where are you taking us to right now? But that's the hope that we have in the Lord. And when we're holding on to that hope, we know that that way down is going to be a lot of fun. So we have peace on the lazy river, and we have the hope as we're going up those stairs. And, you know, even as you're going up those stairs, and maybe you've already gone down, and you're sitting there kind of cold, and you hit a pocket of shade, and you're like, what am I doing up here? This is crazy. And then you come out to a sunny spot, and it starts to warm up, and you're like, okay, this is going to be fun. And you kind of talk yourself into the next step. That's what hope and faith is. We keep going up the steps. Church, keep going up the steps because something great is coming. Something exciting. God has something in store for all of us. Amen? So we're holding on to our peace. We're holding on to our hope. And then next, we're getting ready to stand under that bucket of joy. You know, and you want to get lined up just right underneath that. And you start to hear the countdown. They'll start to count down. And you start to get really excited. This is us today, church, filling our bucket with all that God is. Everything that we talked about in the story of Jesus coming to earth. Let's talk about the Lord. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. And then it starts to tip over and you hear the countdown. Right? And a siren goes off and everybody's really excited and you stand there and there's this just deluge of water, this surge of water that comes down over you. It's not a plunging. It's not a soaking. It is an inundated feeling. And every part of you is now completely touched by this water. And you can't help but feeling the power of the water hit you. You can't help but coming out laughing. You can't help but coming out trickling water behind you, leaving a path of water behind you. That's what the joy of the Lord is to us today. Allow the joy of the Lord to splash over you, to soak you, to embrace you, to inundate every part of your life so that not one part of your life, of your household, is untouched by the joy and the glory of God today. That's what the joy of the Lord is. That's what the joy of the Lord is. We stir ourselves up. We gladden ourselves in him. Hallelujah. Inundated, overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by Jesus, overwhelmed by his goodness. I've been so overwhelmed by the mercy of God, by the goodness of God, by his grace with us every day, every step of the way. His mercies, his signs, his wonders. Let's talk about the goodness of the Lord and let this joy overwhelm you. Jesus is our source of joy. It's that internal knowing that Jesus can give us everything we need. He is our provider. He's our all in all. In his presence is all we need. Amen. And this experience changes our outlook. It changes our thinking. And it even will change our challenges that we face. Why? Because it's an internal knowing now. And it's a cheer that will turn our outlook and our behavior to what was maybe sad and overwhelmed and gloomy into cheerful, even as we face our challenges. The joy of Jesus permeating our soul. Jesus himself said it, to perfect in our soul his joy. Amen. Then it shines outwardly. Then it shines to the world around us. The world needs the joy of Jesus Christ. As we walk in peace, as we climb up in hope, but as we allow the joy of the Lord to overwhelm us so that we can smile in the face of adversity, so that we, in trying times, we have a cheerful outlook. Why? Because there's a bubbling up of Jesus on the inside of us that turns all the sadness, all the grief, all the sorrow into joy. It's that awareness of God's grace, that we are confident in his faithfulness. We have a hope of knowing that all is well. And as it says in Proverbs 31:25, we could laugh at what is to come. How can we laugh at what is to come? We don't know what's coming because we know the one who knows our tomorrows, amen? So we find joy, a great joy, a good news of great joy in Jesus, as the angels declare. Hallelujah. We shine, we reflect the glory of the Lord as we praise him. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It is joy, it is gladness of Jesus that brings us strength. I want to break down this verse a little bit to you because I found it very interesting as I thought about it and meditated on it, that it doesn't say the peace of the Lord is our strength. The scripture verse does not say the love of God is our strength. It does not say hope in my word is your strength. It says the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength today, church. Why? Because let's remember that definition is awareness of God's grace. So if we are aware of God's grace, then we are aware of his peace. We are aware of his love. We are aware of his protection. We are aware of his goodness. So in all that, in the awareness of God's grace, in the awareness that God is equipping you now for all that you need, in that is our joy. And in that comes our strength. Remember, this is only in that constant relationship with the Lord. If you feel that you are lacking in joy, I encourage you to just reach out to right now in this moment and declare. Jesus said in John 15, remain in me and I in you. Declare that you are in the Lord. The enemy may make you feel like you are on the outside looking in at the Lord today. That is a lie. You are in the Lord. You are remaining in the Lord. He is in you. You are in him. And your joy is complete because of where you have positioned yourself in Jesus. Because you have allowed Jesus to be in you, within you, the source of joy is in you. And that joy is your strength. Strength here has multiple meanings, and I want to read them to you. Strength here can mean a place of safety, protection, defense, fortress, helmet, refuge, safety, strong, or stronghold. So as we break down this verse, you can now say, the joy of the Lord, the awareness of God's grace is my place of safety. The awareness of God's grace is my refuge. The awareness of God's grace is my defense. The awareness of God's grace today is my helmet. You could start to declare all this as we say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What you are saying today out of your mouth is, I am aware of God's grace today, and the awareness of God's grace is my protection. The awareness of God's grace is what is making me strong in this moment. The awareness of God's strength is a fortress around me and my household. So I want to encourage you this morning to just declare over yourself, over your household, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength, and allow all that Jesus is to overwhelm you. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.